third case today, Hobbs versus City of Chicago.
Judge Connie, Judge Bauer, Judge Williams, counsel for the defendants. My name is Edward Stein. I represent the plaintiff in this appeal. I would like it if the clerk could light the white light when I have 7 minutes left. That would give me a signal. Is that okay? 7 minutes? Give me an 8-minute argument. There are many issues in this case which this court needs to address, but has already addressed many of them in its long history of supporting the rights of workers against employers in cases involving discrimination. Now, we've come a long way probably since 1964 when Title VII was passed, but apparently in this case not long enough. I want to say right from the outset that I believe the district court missed the ball. If his job was to call balls and strikes, he would not be an umpire any longer. The point I'm trying to make is that every inference that the plaintiff made with respect to the unfairness of this selection, he resolved, invaded the province of the jury and resolved it for the defendants. Every inference that the defendant made, he took as fact, therefore leaving the plaintiff with zero, nothing. Now, let me start from the beginning in this case. Ms. Hobbs is a truck driver. She works for the City of Chicago. She's worked for the City of Chicago since the late 80s. In 1996, she became a lot supervisor for the Department of Transportation at a lot on the far southeast side. A lot supervisor not only drove a truck, but also supervised the truck drivers in that lot, which, depending on the season, the spring and summer months, could be 60, 80, or 100, and much fewer during the winter season. Her responsibilities, if you look at our supplemental appendix, you will see at page 51, appendix 51, the job duties of a foreman. Ms. Hobbs qualifies for this job description in every category. In fact, she had applied for a foreman's position or general foreman's position on at least four prior occasions. All of each time she lost to white males. Second, I'd like to point out, this is not disputed in the record, there are no black foremen at the time that Mr. Quinn was appointed, a white male, bypassing the promotional process and appointed to an acting up position.
Let me ask you about this acting position business. Isn't it true that the city could appoint someone to an acting foreman position and then not post the foreman position vacancy until 90 days later?
That's true, which is why she didn't complain until after the 90 days was up. But I think looking back, perhaps with hindsight, that there was never an intention of posting the foreman position. The intention was to bypass the normal, legitimate promotional process, which the personnel rules of the City of Chicago require, which the union contract requires. By bypassing the formal promotional requirements, you do not get the best qualified. You get the white male in this case, who is more qualified, who is not qualified at all, let alone more qualified than Ms. Hobbs. What happens is, and the Shackman Monitor pointed out that the acting up position is a pernicious way in which to go around the back door and appoint people to positions. Now, in Shackman, there's a political issue, but regardless, people were appointed to these acting up positions and paid the salary of a foreman by bypassing the budget process, by bypassing the promotional process, and by violating the union. Now, that's what happened to Ms. Hobbs. Mr. Quinn was acting foreman, paid as an acting foreman, for 2 years. 2 years. Never was that position put up for normal a bid process, a process where the normal vetting process would presumably find the best qualified person. Ms. Hobbs, qualifications, literate with computer skills, had supervised since 96 truck drivers in her yard, was dealt with assigning men to trucks, dealt with attendance issues, dealt with driving truck drivers who were injured on the job to the hospital, taking accident reports, all the things a supervisor and as the foreman's requirements required. None of this was considered. The deputy commissioner, Mr. Murphy, said he didn't look at any applications, he didn't look at any performance reviews, he didn't look at any personnel files. He relied completely and solely on Joe Sinise. I guess another Joe in this lexicon. But Joe Sinise, because Joe thought that Mr. Quinn would be a good guy and a good foreman. But Sinise didn't say one negative word about Hobbs' performance. Admitted that he didn't look at her record. He didn't look at anybody's record. He appointed Quinn, who admitted himself was computer illiterate and had to have his wife type up reports on the computer to submit on the job. Ms. Hobbs was sufficiently concerned about her job that she brought her own computer to work to assist her in her job as lot supervisor. Now, I think that at a minimum, her qualifications are at least as equal. Also, she has 3.5 years of college. Mr. Quinn has a high school diploma. And I'm not saying that somebody with a high school diploma could not be competent to do certain kinds of jobs. And I'm also saying that as a factor with respect to qualifications, person's educational background is important, even to be a truck driver, especially a foreman. Now, I'd like to also point out that in this court's decision in Lloyd, citing with approval Carmichael, 11th Circuit case, that struck down a whisper promotional process in this Alabama company, where whites were told a job was going to be opened or that a job was open and did not tell people of color. Not surprisingly, all the foremen, all the supervisors in this plant were white because the black employees were not told. There was no competitive process. The Carmichael Court stated that by avoiding formal procedures for posting notice or of available promotions or for determining who would be offered the promotion, court cannot look at that and just pass over it. We have a worse situation here. We have a worse situation here, Judge, and that is there were formal procedures in place which Sinise and Murphy bypassed to pick a white male employee. I'd like to reserve my 5 minutes. Thank you for your indulgence.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stein. Ms. Masters?
May it please the Court. Ms. Hobbs brings a variety of claims based upon race and gender discrimination, retaliation, and retaliatory hostile environment. This morning I'm going to be discussing Ms. Hobbs' failure to adduce evidence that she was discriminated against in the appointment of Mr. Quinn to acting foreman, and her failure to create a genuine issue of disputed fact regarding her retaliation allegations because she lacks evidence of an adverse action or a nexus to her discrimination complaint. The appellees will rest on their briefs on the hostile environment issue and on the Section 1981 claims to the extent that they differ and we make different arguments regarding the need to show a right under a contract for the 1981 claims. Ms. Hobbs just began her presentation today talking about the district court making improper inferences, but of course as a predicate to making inferences, one has to actually present evidence to the court from which the inferences you want to be made can indeed be drawn. And in this particular case, Ms. Hobbs has failed to do that. She has come before the court and imply, basically, that there has been a disparate impact in what happened in this case. But she has not actually produced any evidence of that. This is not a disparate impact case. What we have is one appointment that is an issue, and she has not shown that anything discriminatory happened on this one appointment. The district
What is the situation with the 90-day acting, and in this case, Mr. Quinn was in a position for over 2 years?
Well, the position is, the fact of the matter is that under the contract, under the collective bargaining agreement, there's a sort of baseline 90-day period, and after that 90 days, the parties can, by mutual agreement, extend the position. Now, one of the problems with Ms. Hobbs' case is she wants this court and the court below to have found that process discriminatory. But in fact, she has presented absolutely no evidence as to who even makes the decision to extend the position past 90 days. So she hasn't shown that that decision-making process was at all discriminatory. We don't even know on this record who is involved in that process. So for that reason, there was, again, no evidence from which to make an inference of discrimination. The claim that Ms. Hobbs brought required her to show that she's as qualified for the foreman position as Mr. Quinn, but her submission that she's more qualified was based in large part upon her own assessment of what skills she believes to be relevant for the job, including
factors. Well, why isn't the fact that the city claims it hired Quinn in August because of his snow removal experience when winter was months away enough to demonstrate pretext? That's one of her arguments.
Well, Your Honor, we would point this court to the job description of foreman, which is included, as plaintiff mentioned a few moments ago, in their supplemental appendix on page 51. And it actually lists, as qualifications to be foreman, several aspects of dealing with the snow removal job. So in coming before the court and saying, well, it was pretext because you shouldn't have considered these, she is coming before the court and saying you shouldn't have considered the job requirements. And that certainly can't be a plausible argument. And we'd also point out that the snow removal experience was relevant because it showed Mr. Quinn's willingness to volunteer in a sort of can-do attitude to go out and be on the streets, as compared to Ms. Hobbs, who participated by her own account only once in the snow removal program. And we know on the record she also, at least on one occasion, refused to participate. So the experience with the snow removal program not only is actually a job qualification, but it also went to show what mattered in part in this case, which was Mr. Quinn's work ethic and his enthusiasm for the job, and again, his real willingness to be out on the street. And
do
in
we
that.
Know when this requirement of sort of snow removal came into effect, was it after Jane Byrne won the mayoral when Blandick dropped the ball on snow removal? Just curious.
You have a long memory, Judge.
Your Honor, I don't know that, but in fact, obviously, there is a public recognition that snow removal is an incredibly important part of life in the city of Chicago, and it is not to be minimized even when an appointment is made in August. Again, the real point I stress, though, is that there's absolutely no disputing that Joe Sinise and Mr. Murphy were looking for a foreman on the streets because Mr. Sinise was having a hard time fulfilling that aspect of his job. He didn't need help with someone doing reports or someone with computer skills. And, in fact, he testifies. And we can look again at the foreman job description. Computer skills and college education are not part of the job requirement or the job skills for foremen. So, yes, those might be fabulous job qualifications, but they're not relevant in this particular instance. And even if Ms. Hobbs could establish that she was as qualified as Mr. Quinn, she has not shown that there was any pretext, because it is not pretextual to consider the person and appoint the person for the job who shows real willingness to do it and has the qualifications for the job. She has many other theories of pretext, and we are going to rest on the briefs on that. The only other point I would make regarding pretext is to the extent she's claiming pretext with sort of the continuation past 90 days. Again, she hasn't at all produced any evidence of how that came to happen. As for retaliation, her claims are equally flawed. Her complaints fall into two categories: being asked to do aspects of her job that she's not fond of, and being punished for breaking workplace rules. To begin with the former, Ms. Hobbs has many complaints about being asked to drive trucks, in particular, since 2004, and having Quinn take on some of the responsibilities she had been performing. Much of what she labels as retaliation is actually Quinn taking on the job responsibilities of foreman that she claimed to have been performing. Clearly, it is not retaliation if someone is appointed to be your boss and you have done some of his duties, as she claims, and then he comes in and actually takes those over. There's no case under Title VII of which we are aware that labels that retaliatory. We'd also note for the court that some of the claims that she labels as retaliatory, particularly with the truck driving, she dates back to November of 2004. She actually didn't file her EEOC charge until January of 2005. Obviously, those cannot be retaliatory either. It's also undisputed that lot supervisors are sometimes required to drive trucks. Not retaliatory to be asked to do your job, particularly if it's just 20 times over the course of a few years. As for the complaints that she's disciplined, those involve disciplinary actions for clocking out early and for insubordination. Again, those are not retaliatory because the person administering the discipline is First Deputy Commissioner Powers, and there's no allegation. It's undisputed. He doesn't know she has filed an EEOC charge. There's also an allegation that her car was vandalized, and the failure to investigate that vandalizing was retaliatory. That claim fails because there's no nexus between the vandalism and the alleged failure to investigate. First, she claims that Sinise retaliates because he doesn't investigate. It really baffles us that she complains it's retaliatory that the person who allegedly discriminates against her then doesn't investigate her claim that something happens to her related to that discrimination. Clearly, Mr. Sinise would not have been the appropriate person to investigate her claims. She then goes and brings them to Deputy Commissioner Cheeks, but she has admitted in her Rule 56 statement of facts, or additional facts, actually it's the response to our statement of facts, that she never discussed her discrimination allegations with Mr. Cheeks. And having never discussed her discrimination allegations with him, and having failed to produce any evidence that he knows about them from some other source, she has really failed to make her claim that anything that happened to her is retaliatory. Again, drawing inferences in favor of the plaintiff or in favor of the movement on summary judgment requires that production of evidence from which those inferences can be made. If the court has no further questions, the city and the individual appellees will rest on the briefs and ask that the court affirm summary judgment for the reasons set forth in the briefs and stated here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Masters. Mr. Stein? Mr. Stein, you have 7 minutes.
Thank you, Judge. Counsel stated that because the supervisory job, the foreman's job, did not require computer skills or some other skills that, you know, spelling, being able to spell, for instance, properly, writing skills, therefore, because they're not listed as a specific job qualification on the foreman's position, then she hasn't filed any evidence or shown any that she's better qualified. Well, this court in Warren versus Solo Cup found that in a case where Warren had a high school diploma and where Lorenz, the person, the white male who got the a promotion, that is to supervise the tool crib, he had a master's degree, and this court said, well, there's no reason not to believe that the employer thought that those were reasonable qualifications. So it's a funny situation. In Warren versus Lorenz, this court found that having those educational qualifications was relevant, but the city argues that just because Ms. Hobbs can write, can spell, is literate with computer skills, because it's not something that's listed in the qualifications for a foreman, we shouldn't take that in consideration. I want to point out, though, that we don't have a situation where there's an informal promotional process in the city of Chicago. There's a formal promotional process, one that is articulated in the personnel rules at length. There's a vetting process. Applicants are encouraged to file their application. If they meet the initial requirements, then they're reviewed by panels, and that the vetting process, a normal vetting process, will produce the best candidates. This circumvented the promotional, the formal promotional process. The acting up was used to bypass the normal promotional requirements, and therefore is presumptively discriminatory. Now, our position is that circumstantial evidence, we meet the test by circumstantial evidence, and the indirect method is not necessary. One sure way that we have relied on is the fact that the city bypassed the formal procedures for finding the best qualified by appointing Quinn, a white male. There's no. Now, if we go to the indirect method, the pretext is snow. And by the way, I Googled snow in Chicago in August, and my findings is that in recorded Chicago recorded history, it has never snowed in August. And probably the last time it snowed in August in the Chicago area was during the Ice Age, long before we were here. Perhaps there weren't even people here at the time. Certainly no snow trucks were here. Now, it should be understood that the streets, Department of Streets and Sanitation is responsible for snow removal, not Department of Transportation. They provide truck drivers. Now, the city makes an argument here, which I think is very pretextual in the context of this case, is they say that Sinise told Murphy that he was comfortable with Quinn because he was a good, hard worker and he needed somebody on the street with him. Well, that is a recipe for bypassing every rule of law regarding Title VII. If it was simple, it was just that simple, there would be no reason to have Title VII. Oh, the foreman said the guy I picked is the one I want. Therefore, there's no violation of the law. That is completely not the case in this circuit, and I suspect not any circuit, and it's certainly not the case in the U.S. Supreme Court. So, when the city says it's snow that turned the corner for Quinn, the fact that Ms. Hobbs is a single parent, what effect is that? That she chose, if not to take overtime, to stay at home with her child? Let the vetting process decide who is best qualified for the foreman position, not Mr. Sinise to pick this white male. And again, there has never been a black female or female who was a foreman in the Department of Transportation, ever. That is, we should have been allowed to present the facts that we have, the evidence that we have, and draw the requisite inferences from those to make our case. The judge invaded the province of the jury and took that out of the jury's province. And that, this court has repeatedly stated that even in close cases, the court should not substitute its own judgment for a jury's judgment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stein. This case will be taken under advisement.